The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of our incendiary God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. In my children's Bible, I remember there was an image of Jesus dressed in the usual white robe, down on one knee and tenderly petting the little lambs gathered around him. I like this Jesus. He warms the cockles of my heart. This is the Jesus I learned about as a child, always kind, the one who swoops in like the cavalry almost every Sunday to save us from maybe a slightly uncomfortable Old Testament reading, a somewhat vindictive psalm, with a clever and relatable parable. This is the Jesus whose life is bookended by incarnation and resurrection. But this is not the Jesus we get this morning. This morning, Jesus is anti-peace. He's anti-family. And he mixes no words when he calls everyone in the crowd a hypocrite. If Jesus shows us who God is, then in addition to being loving and merciful, God is also downright incendiary. God is on fire. For Moses, God, of course, appears in the burning bush. For the apostles, after Jesus' death, the Holy Spirit appears as tongues of fire. And in John's hallucinatory revelation in prison, John sees forces of wickedness being consumed and cleansed by a great fire. Now, maybe we have an easy enough time imagining God as kind of powerful and fiery. Maybe friendly fire, well, that's not a good pun. But gentle Jesus ruminating about breaking up our families, it really sort of strikes at the heart of our American sensibility, doesn't it? Father against son, daughter against mother. Though to be honest, the in-law thing kind of makes sense, doesn't it? And any of these divisions might make sense depending on your family situation, though if family squabbles are unfamiliar to you, we can certainly define the divisions we see in society playing out on a national scene. Liberal and conservative, wealthy and impoverished, those who know that the button on the side of the phone silences it and those who don't. Some of the divisions we define are accurate descriptions of our diversity. Others are unfair divisions that squash conversation. Pro-choice versus pro-life. LGBTQ advocates and then proponents of tradition. Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter. These divisions, when we dig into them, only really skirt the real issues as they prevent us from moving forward together with God and with each other. We then wonder what kinds of division God in Jesus brings. Maybe the Reverend Dr. William Barber was onto something when he spoke recently at the Democratic National Convention. He said that there are some issues we are poised to tackle that are not left versus right, liberal versus conservative. Some issues, he says, are right versus wrong. Sometimes we need to step out of our camps to seek that which is good and just. Not for our own glory, but for God's. This kind of division actually unifies if it's done right. It begins to heal old wounds without needlessly creating unnecessary new ones. And it invites others in rather than only calling them out. And in this political season, we see a lot of calling out, a lot of name-calling from every angle. Though there are some signs of this sort of inviting in to conversation. This is the better way that we're hinted at in the letter to the Hebrews. The better way to react to toxic words and policies from disgusting remarks about entire segments of the population to increased bombing campaigns in the Middle East. There is a better way to react to toxic words and policies that dehumanize people. And instead of allowing toxicity to poison us, to make us give in, there can be in us kindled a kind of fire that leads us to a better way. Sometimes that better way looks like radical acts of forgiveness. Sometimes it looks like compassionately reaching out to someone on the margins of our lives or the margins of society. Sometimes the better way looks like some wickedly clear truth-telling, the kind that Jesus does when he points to the crowds of commoners and to the religious leaders and implicates them in their inability, or rather unwillingness, to set in motion a movement that gets us right with God and society, to paraphrase Omad Safi. This better way looks like Jesus and the way he lived. Now, we come here every Sunday, or every third or fourth Sunday, no judgment there, to hear the story of the people of God, to look inside ourselves, around at each other, and outside at the rest of the world, and to find renewal for the work God empowers us to do. Sometimes we sink into the ancient sin Jesus denounces this morning. There was a time when the church was very powerful, in the time when the early Christians rejoiced at being deemed worthy to suffer for what they believed. In those days, the church was not merely a thermometer that recorded the ideas and principles of popular opinion. It was a thermostat that transformed the mores of society. And before someone calls me on plagiarism, these are, of course, not my words, but those of Dr. King, when he penned his letter from Birmingham jail to idle religious leaders of the time. He continued, "Whenever the early Christians entered a town, the people in power became disturbed and immediately sought to convict the Christians for being disturbers of the peace and outside agitators. But the Christians pressed on in the conviction that they were a colony of heaven, called to obey God rather than man. Small in number, they were big in commitment. They were too God-intoxicated to be astronomically intimidated. By their effort and example, they brought an end to such ancient evils as infanticide and gladiatorial contests. Things are different now. So often the contemporary church is a weak, ineffectual voice with an uncertain sound. So often it is an arch defender of the status quo. Far from being disturbed by the presence of the church, the power structure of the average community is consoled by the church's silent and often even vocal sanction of things as they are. When Jesus says he comes to bring fire, he doesn't mean that he brings Tabasco for the Last Supper. When Jesus says he comes to bring division, he isn't introducing Common Core mathematics standards. Jesus comes to set the world on fire with a love that will divide us even from the parts of ourselves that still hold on to that piece of us that wants things to be the way they are because it's what we're used to. The parts of ourselves that hold deeply ingrained prejudices that we can't seem to control. The parts of ourselves that prevent us from saying no to fear and yes to love. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Creator, God the Redeemer, God the Sanctifier, God the Mother of us all, our one and only God with a capital G is incendiary. God is on fire. Can you feel the fire? I need a yes. I need a yes. Do you feel the fire? There we go. Will you say yes to love and no to fear?
Yes.
Will you tell the world about this love in your words and your actions?
Yes.
Will you treat every child of God in a way that consumes their hearts with fires of compassion?
Yes.
Will you strive to set this Jesus movement in motion for the sake of all people?
Yes.
You're unsure about that one. That's fine. That's good. All of that is in our baptismal covenant. That is our role as the church. And with a church like that, the world better watch out. Because God, she's a-coming. And God's people are on fire with a better way, with the love of Christ that moves mountains and transforms the world. Amen.